Prayer for many people is a part of their lives, even in secular modern Britain. Surveys that have been carried out show that 3/4 of the population pray at least once a week, even when they've not said they are Christians or belong to any religious group. But what is prayer? This morning, we are going to look at what is understood by prayer. But given that it's a lifetime subject, as you may agree, and our time together is short, we are limited to asking just 3 simple questions. The first, what is prayer and why pray? Does God always answer prayer, which Jeff will be leading? How and when do we pray, which Pastor Jane will be leading? So I'll start by asking, what is prayer? Prayer is intimate. Prayer is about developing a dialogue and relationship. From a Christian perspective, it forms the most important activity in our lives, as it fuels the way we develop a relationship with God, who we can come to know as our Father. Jesus taught us how to pray, our Father in heaven. And we looked at that this morning already. We as individual human beings each have a unique personality. All human beings are made in the image of God. God our Father is not just a personality, but he can be known in a very personal way as a loving parent. And we are able to have the great privilege of calling and meaning and experiencing God as Abba, which is the intimate Aramaic word for dad in English. What is prayer? Prayer helps us to understand God. While it is true that we are able to develop an intimate relationship with God, there are also other sides to God's nature and character which becomes real to us. Our Father in heaven. The word heaven highlights that God is not just close and intimate to us, but is actually someone who we can relate to, who is bigger and more powerful than us. He who created the universe in which we live and exist. God is always present, eternally present in us and all around us. Prayer is also conversation. Jesus said, "When you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen." God is spirit. So prayer is not about ritualism or repeating set prayers mindlessly. Jesus said that we should not keep babbling like pagans. Therefore, prayer is a vertical conversation with our Father in heaven. When we pray, it is not to ourselves or to others, but to God, based around relationship where the whole Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is involved. For this conversation and relationship to happen, we pray to God through the Son. Prayer in Jesus gives us deeper access to God. Paul says that through Jesus, we both, as Jews and Gentiles, have access to the Father by one Spirit. Jesus also said that his Father would give us whatever we ask in his name. We find that in the Bible, in the book of John 15, verse 16. You may have heard in spoken public and private prayers the phrase at the end, in Jesus' name, or through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then everybody responds, Amen. Amen is just a shorthand of saying, so shall it be, or so be it. What is prayer? Prayer is not a magical formula. It is a simple acknowledgement that we really have no right to come to God by ourselves, but we are able to do so through Jesus and in His name. Jesus, through His death on the cross, removes the barrier that existed between God and us. He is the bridge we cross over to God as our Father. And we were reminded about this just a few weeks ago, Easter. We watched the marionettes and we saw Jesus dying on that cross. So that death on the cross is actually the bridge that we can cross over to God as our Father. In this relationship, we also have access to the Father by one Spirit. Although prayer is readily accessible and at one level really easy, most of us either find it very hard to pray or we find it difficult to know what to pray, or we even find it difficult to say, how do I pray? God knows this and has not left us to struggle alone, but He has given us His Holy Spirit, who comes alongside us and is within us to help us to pray. In Romans 8, verse 26 to 27, in the Holy Bible, it says, "We do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans words can't express." Prayer helps us to find God's help and resources. If you got a 5 million check from Lola, what would that mean? Anyone?
Did you win the lottery?
You ask me questions, wouldn't you? It would be strange. It would be very worthless because I ain't got that money. But for instance, if Bill Gates, the head of Microsoft, wrote you a check of £5 million, you'll probably be worth a lot more. And it would be bankable, wouldn't it? You'd take it straight to the bank. When we go to the bank of heaven, we or anybody else in our own name have nothing, just like Lola, have nothing held in deposit. But Jesus, on the other hand, has unlimited credit, and we have the privilege of using the same access that Jesus has to God's account. With Jesus, we have a proper right of access. No one can con God in prayer. So what is prayer? We've looked at. Prayer is intimate. Prayer is a conversation. Prayer in Jesus gives us deeper access to God. Prayer gives us a relationship and access to the Father by one Spirit. Prayer helps us to find God's help and resources. But why do we need to pray? Why? Surely God knows everything anyway, without our telling Him. So what reasons do we have to pray? In prayer, we come face to face with ourselves and our need to change. Real prayer changes us. Prayer is communication. It is simply communication. And we all know that relationships grow by communication. And of course, there are different ways to communicate, many different ways. Therefore, there are also many different ways to pray. We can ask for stuff in our prayers to God. And definitely, as we see those prayers answered, our relationship with God develops. So when we get answers to prayers, are they just coincidences or are they God incidences? Jesus can act as a model for us in this way, in the way he lived his life. We get glimpses of his prayer like we've looked at this morning. So we get glimpses of his prayer life in the Gospels, just as we've seen. His life was one of constant prayer, and he assumed his disciples or followers would be people who prayed too. Another reason why we pray: prayer helps make God's promises real. Jesus thought that when God rewards prayers, Jesus taught us that God rewards prayers. Going back to the passage we looked at earlier, the Bible says, but when, not if, when you pray. So that's an expectation from God, isn't it? He says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So when you pray, and not if you pray. Your Father sees what is done in secret and rewards you. So what forms do these rewards take? Why not try it and find out? The Bible has a lot of promises God makes connected to prayer. And these rewards come when acting on these promises. For instance, Paul, writing in Philippians 4, verse 7, 6 and 7, says, don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need. Always asking him with a thankful heart, and God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we also note that it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So these prayer promises are about finding contentment and peace of mind in trusting God as we bring our needs in prayer before God, that he will answer in providing for our needs. These are just two of the promises, and it's just barely scratching the surface. There are tons and tons and tons more to discover. What is prayer and why pray? Prayer helps us to understand God. Prayer is conversation. Prayer in Jesus gives us deeper access to God. Prayer helps us to find God's resources and help. And some of the reasons why we pray: prayer is communication. Prayer helps make God's promises real. And for you to be able to discover that for yourself as an individual, you need to find out what those promises are and then act on them. And Pastor Jane's just giving discussions about challenges. So what we are going to discuss in our group on the sheet that you get from Becca in a second, it's got a challenge for the week. I'm not a teacher, but I like giving homework. So you live here with homework. So you've got a challenge about relationship building through prayer, obviously.
Do you want to
God.
Spread them around?
Yes, please. So,
everyone
needs a copy. So you look at the challenge for the week section. You'll have time to read the rest later. For now, just look at the challenge for the week. And you use that as a reference. The challenge for the week is just at the bottom.
Anybody not got a challenge? Can you wave your hand?
I am a busy person, but how can I involve praying in my everyday life? That is, learning to do some of the things that we already do differently in communicating with God. So look at the challenge and speak to the person sitting next to you in your group and discuss, what can I do as a busy person to involve prayers in my everyday life? And we'll get one person from each group to just give us some tips that they have.
And we will think about this briefly as we consider tackling disappointment when our prayers are not answered the way we believe they should be. Now, as Lola has pointed out, our living relationship begins with God's, with receiving God's forgiveness through Jesus on the cross. And it is here at the cross Jesus deals with our sin. To deal with a problem where Jesus and only Jesus has provided the solution. Yet the sin or selfishness that remains in our lives acts as a barrier. Can we go back, please, Babatunde? Which has to be removed before we can expect God to hear and answer our prayers. So as it says up there, we need to deal with the barriers. And one of those barriers is, even as Christians living in that living relationship, we find that this relationship is undermined and it's affected by sin or disobedience in our lives. And if we are conscious of any sin or disobedience, we need to realise it, recognise it, take responsibility for it, so not blaming other people, but taking responsibility for it. Tell God about it. It won't surprise God. He already knows. Tell God about it. Ask for forgiveness. Turn from it and restore the relationship. This can include a problem which is defined by God, which we then come to realize is an issue, rather than what we may feel about it and whether it seems a problem to us. And why I say that is that it's not just about feelings, what we feel. It's allowing God's truth to speak into our lives. But it's also true that sometimes God will answer the prayer of somebody who is not in such a living relationship, but we don't have the right to expect it. But God does this because he is generous and he is merciful and he loves humanity. He loves human beings. He loves you and me. So we need to deal with that barrier about sin and disobedience. But there is another barrier, and it's actually asking about the wrong things, which in itself reveals wrong attitudes and motives in our hearts. So there is not a blank check. We do not always realize it at the time, of course, but the answer we will get to those kind of prayers is a no. And this is where I'm going to play you a song that's from the 1970s. It's from Janis Joplin, a very accomplished musician who died at the age 27. But I think it's a song for our time. So those kind of prayers, that's what James says about it, is when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, and you spend what you get on your pleasures. So that's the advice that you get from James, from the Bible. We may also get a no if we're asking for something that is not good for us. And when we get a no to those kind of prayers, we actually should be extremely grateful. In Luke, Jesus says, "Would any of you who are fathers give your child a snake when he asks for a fish? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God is only in the business of giving good things to his children. But sometimes it's only years later, with the benefit of hindsight, we understand that that was the issue around some of the things we asked for. And in the meantime, we can end up feeling pretty resentful and disappointed until we've actually got to that point of understanding. And it's learning to trust God that he has perfect foresight and is a better judge than us. And that leads us into the last section we're going to be thinking a little bit about today, which is tackling disappointment or developing trust. And there are awful and difficult things that happen in life to us and to others where we do not get a response, for which God remains silent despite praying hard and long. Some examples for us locally included Mary, who was part of the church here some years ago now, who was hit by a motorcycle in the Mile End Road and suffered severe head injuries, and she died on a ventilator a few days later in London Hospital. And you have your own examples where even heartfelt believing prayer didn't change the situation. And there are no easy answers for this. We will have to wait till we meet God face to face to understand where God was in this and why our prayers did not get the answer we hoped for. Philip Yancey wrote a book called Disappointment with God. And he noted that not until history has run its course will we understand how all things work together for good. Faith means believing in advance what we only make sense in reverse. But it is also true that the more we get to know God through prayer, the better we will know his will, and the more our prayers will be answered. And as Lola was reminding us, it is about relationship. And it's about the closeness of that relationship. And the closer we grow, the more we'll be in tune with where God was in that situation. And we'll be better able to hear and see those answers when they come. Andrew Murray, in his classic book on prayer, With Christ in the School of Prayer, a South African guy, comments on John chapter 15, which is the passage where Jesus talks about himself as the true vine, and we are to abide in him. And he illustrates this by saying that obedience and faith go together, and that faith is made real by obedience. Faith is learning to be at home with God, and obedience is going out and putting into practice what God has asked of us. So we've got a few minutes now. I'm going to hand around some slips of paper. It will also be on the screen, I hope, at the back. And there are some questions, and time is against us, so I think you may just want to choose one of the three questions. And these are the three questions. What, in your experience, have been some of the barriers to prayer? Or, why are there good reasons we may not always get what we ask for? Or, how do we deal with disappointment in prayer? Are there examples that you can give that help illustrate this? So those are the three questions. They're going to be coming round on your table as well, and they're up there still on the screens. Choose one of them.
And if you wouldn't, explain why. If you would, explain why. So it's how we relate to others very practically. And then I ask you to think about sharing one thing about prayer that is important to you. And that could be very powerful. And you may get a chance over lunch. You may have a little gem. It's not a lettuce, but a little gem, you know, that somebody else... And this is... There is terrible arrogance if people think they've learnt how to pray. I think, as Henry hinted at, the older I get, the more I realise there is to learn about prayer. And the more from different Christian traditions. And we're all rather narrow-minded, and God is often far broader-minded. That doesn't mean everything other traditions do is right. There are certain things we might decline to do because we actually don't think they're helpful. This is just how I want to summarise this session, and you've really answered it.
how should we pray? In any living relationship, we need to find out how that relationship works for the people involved. And you've already hinted that each of us has different biological clocks and whatever. And some of us might just need to admit that actually we're lazy. And, you know, if we really wanted to do something, we actually would make a bigger effort. But we are different, and through our lives, our biological clocks changed. I used to be able to stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning, as Helen will tell you. She was asleep in bed and I was up, and I could be up at 6 and working the next day and just do that for years and years, and that changes, you know. So these patterns change. But you do need to find out what works for you, and if what you're currently doing doesn't work, it may be just because you are physically exhausted. It may be because you're eating the wrong things. It may be because you medically have conditions that need treating. But find out something that works for you, which means you may need to discuss with someone about the different patterns and rhythms. You know, you may have learned a way that just doesn't work for you. And so it's quite helpful sometimes to talk to a pastor or a spiritual director and actually talk about what might work for you and to explore that. That's incredibly important. How should we pray? And we have the freedom to explore what is right and appropriate for us. Sometimes we use books of prayer. Sometimes we use extemporary prayer that we make up. Sometimes we need to learn to listen. We've mentioned silent prayer, and that is probably one of the most neglected areas of prayer. We need to discover and explore. We can learn from other people, their experience, their advice. And the disciples said to Jesus, "How should we pray? Teach us to pray." They recognized he had a quality of relationship with God that they didn't have, and he taught them by giving them a model, a pattern that has been broken down in so many ways and used, but with these key elements, and we talked about that last Sunday. So Jesus realized that he could teach them. As disciples, discipline is incredibly important to us, so rhythm and pattern, a set time each day. I loved all these little suggestions, you know, about setting your clock, when it goes to snooze. I mean, I have to say, if I lay in bed to pray, well, I'd just be gone again, you know. So find out what works. It may be that you sit with the sunlight coming in on you, whatever. It doesn't really matter. It may be that you come to the church and you ask for half an hour just to use a quiet corner. But find out what works, because this is your relationship with the living God. This is him speaking, you hearing, and not just asking. Sometimes we get into a terrible rut of over-familiarity and boredom in our own prayer. But other times our prayer just becomes sweeter and sweeter, and we learn a rhythm that is very, very helpful. God wants us to grow in understanding, and so as we have the Holy Spirit, we're not just trying our own efforts, but actually God will be working with us on that. When should we pray? The last slide, please. Well, you said it. Any place, any time, anywhere. Nevertheless, as my old teachers taught me, quality is all important. And really God gets the fag ends. And so my own view is that although we can pray in the car, and we certainly can pray washing up, and we can certainly pray walking in the streets, while we drink our coffee, while we're doing all the chores, actually, we do need to stop. And it is very difficult if you have children, if you're caring for elderly relatives, if you have a high-powered job. It is very, very difficult. But a car cannot run on empty. And our relationship will suffer. And the barriers come in, quite simply. The barrier is often non-communication. We've just forgotten what it is to be in God's presence. So we do need to actually set some time for God. a dedicated time to talk and to meet with God. It is good to pray in solitude. That's incredibly important. But I have found unless I pray with others, my prayer life is weak, impoverished. It lacks insights and other perspective. So to pray in a small group or to have a prayer partner, Jeff and I find it very difficult to pray together. Some married couples, they're just so godly. You know, they say they do it. That we actually now have to set aside a time to talk about what we're doing and to pray. We just have to put it in the diary to do that. And we often fail, but we're on a good phase at the moment, so we're feeling. Prayer is about dialogue, it's about relationship. It is the heart of Christianity. It is the heart of our relationship that Jesus died so that we can walk with God in the garden, in the cool of the evening, and on every city street. You and I have so much to discover. I have to encourage you just to pursue that relationship. Now today is just the beginning. I just want to say a little bit about what is happening through the rest of the day. We've got food. There's plenty for everyone. And you're very welcome to collect some food, to sit around the table and to talk. Pretty quickly, we'll start the next section. And that is about prayer ministry. Very posh.